A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 515. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Jackanory the Revival. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we are looking at these two revival stories from the BBC's long-running storytelling series, Jackanory. These stories are Muddle Earth and The Magician of Samarkand. Both of them were released in 2006. Originally, for each story, there were three 15-minute episodes told over successive afternoons on CBBC and the BBC. And then they were edited into about 42-minute films for rebroadcast and release on DVD. And as a sort of mixture of some energetic storytelling from our narrators, some CGI animation, some live-action performances, some beautifully illustrated backgrounds, there's a combination of stuff to listen to and look at here, Brian.
Yes, for sure. Last time we talked about the first one, Muddle Earth. So now it's time to move on to The Magician of Samarkand, which was broadcast over three afternoons starting on December 4th of 2006. It was based on a book by the same name by Alan Temperley and illustrated by Adam Stower, published just a couple years earlier in 2004.
And the story of The Magician of Samarkand, perhaps slightly more on traditional grounds or familiar territory here, a powerful magician called Zora Ali walks out of the desert and transforms the city of Samarkand into his own private, beautiful golden realm. He is, of course, a very powerful magician, and his eye falls on Anahita, the beautiful daughter of a rather poor shoemaker. So Ali offers her father 500 gold coins for her hand in marriage. But of course, as with any storytelling of this sort, she rejects that offer.
And in revenge, the magician curses her to become very elderly quite instantly, and she has to live in exile outside the walls of the city. He also tells people that this old woman has killed Anahita, so she is driven out of the city. Until she realizes that she must return to save the city from the villainous Ali. George Antoni plays the title character in this one.
And then we have Elif Knight as Anahita and Greg Chilingirian as the handsome Prince Sohrab. But all of the voices and the narration are provided by none other than Sir Ben Kingsley himself. So even though we've got live actors, he's actually doing all the voices as well as telling the story to us. And I'll say this one uses less in the way of CGI animation. This is more actors performing in front of these beautiful painted backdrops.
And they're not always backdrops. Some of them, you have some characters standing next to the live action characters in them. It's an interesting mix of illustration and live action. It has some beautiful costumes designed by Hazel Pethig, and the actors are seen in front of these painted illustrations by Claire Bush, Paul Catling, and Martin McKenna. The visuals were inspired by classic Victorian illustrators and also by stories from Arabian Nights and the visuals and illustrations associated with those. Once again, this story was adapted for Jackanory and produced and directed by Nick Willing. The music was by Simon Boswell, with visual effects supervised by Matt Estella.
Which is the same central trio who worked on Muddle Earth in the last episode.
Yes, I think it was really one project to do both of these stories.
So, Jackanory, tell us a story. It seems amazing that there were well over 3,500 episodes episodes of Jack and Ori. I'm not sure of the exact number because, as I said in our last episode, I couldn't find a comprehensive listing of all the episodes. But it seems amazing that there's so many and yet so few have been released on physical media to us to talk about. I will say that I know that maybe as many as 2,000 of those episodes don't exist in the archive, as far as we can tell. They were presumably taped over, as was the policy, particularly back in the 1960s, a subject we've come to many a time, Brian.
Yeah, the 1960s and 70s, that was happening a lot. But that still leaves a lot of episodes that could be there, and I'm sure quite a few complete stories.
And we, of course, would love to cover some of these stories, particularly stories read by the late, the great Bernard Cribbins, the man who holds the crown for the most Jack and Oris. But I'd also like to see Victoria Wood's storytelling. I'd love to see some of the actors who played the Doctor in classic Doctor Who and their stories. And I'll mention it very quickly, my grail story would again be that Rick Mayall reading of George's Marvelous Medicine.
Yes, very nice. And, you know, there's so many different stories covered as well, which is also interesting. We do have the odd release on DVD and the like, so we may be able to cover the odd one in the future of the classic Jack and Ori episodes. I hope we get to do that.
And without giving it away, we do know that some of the Jack and Ori stories would give us a chance to touch on some of the absolute classics of children's literature that we haven't been able to really look at in any other form, Brian.
Yes, of course.
If you have favourites from Jack and Ori's back catalogue, if you have a particular favourite reader or a particular favourite story, then please get in touch with us. Let us know what your favourites are. I well remember Bernard Cribbins reading the Arabelle and her Raven Mortimer stories by Joan Aitken with illustrations by Quentin Blake. They hold a particular memory for me, Brian.
Oh, fantastic. Now let's get into some of our own thoughts about this a little more than we already have. And I think we'll take the two stories one at a time. So, Eamon, what did you like about Muddle Earth?
Everything. Such a delight to have some Jack and Ori. I thought the CGI character designs were very funny. They look great. The interactions with the live actor Charlie Rowe is really well done for, you know, for an actor who's presumably acting in front of a green screen and a young actor at that. But I'm sort of giving it away all at once, Brian, because the performance by John Sessions is just wonderful. His storytelling, the way he interacts with both Charlie Rowe and with the CGI, I just thought he was superb, Brian. What did you make of him?
Yes, I'm going to pretty well agree here. John Sessions did a wonderful job with this. And yeah, I like the visuals. What I enjoyed was it was a little bit surreal how you would have the interactions between live action and animated, but also just the way things were put together and how you would have the different characters and Sessions doing almost all of the voices. It was quite cleverly done, and the way they interact, you know, there was some fun stuff there.
Now, we would say, of course, that this is CGI animation from 20 years ago now, Brian.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's perhaps not up to the very latest, but actually, I think they did, on the CBBC budget, they did a pretty good job, Brian.
Yes, they were very definitely not going for a realistic feel here. This was something that was meant to look put together and assembled from different elements, and they have things where you see John Sessions acting something out while the animated character next to him is acting the same thing out, and you know, it gets into this kind of surreal stuff that is at times can be really fun.
And I will say Charlie Rowe does a pretty good job, actually. I think he's great. And shout out to Henry the Dog, who's also pretty impressive. Goodness knows how many takes a dog actor takes, but there you go.
Yes. How about negative points for Muddle Earth?
Very few, Brian. Very few indeed. I mean, you know, as I said, we might point out some of the slight clunkiness of 2006 CGI. But other than that, I liked it all. I thought Charlie Rowe did a great job. I thought the CGI people did a great job. Music's good. And it is just dominated by this wonderful, enthralling performance by John Sessions. Not very many negatives for me at all. What about yourself?
Yeah, so for me, the one thing is that some of the surrealistic type presentation of it, some of it was a little bit jarring. When you first see John Sessions acting something out next to an animated character acting out the same thing, or when you have some of these quite bizarre visuals, I do like them, but there were a few moments of that that were a little bit jarring because they were just so much and I wasn't expecting them. I did come back and watch this a second time, and knowing what to expect, I was not bothered by any of that. But there is just a little bit of it being jarring some of the time. But that's a pretty minor issue on what is a very strong story.
Okay, interesting stuff. Shall we turn to The Magician of Samarkand? And this time I ask you to go first and say what you liked about this story, Brian.
I liked an awful lot about this story. The performance, the reading from Ben Kingsley is a very different one from what John Sessions did, but I thought it was really very good. It brought the sense of things and the emotion of he did every voice for every character, and I thought he did a wonderful job on it.
Yeah, Ben Kingsley, you know, what an honor and a treat to have him here reading a story for younger viewers on a Jack and Ori revival.
Yeah, it's a reading, but it's very much a performance as well.
I'll also point out this is the one with the beautiful costumes, which look pretty good, and the wonderful painted backdrops and illustrations, which are beautifully done throughout, I thought.
The illustrations in this one are really beautiful. So while it moves away from the sort of comical aspect of Muddle Earth, this one is more serious and sort of folktale style, but the visuals of it with these hand-drawn scenes and backgrounds, it's quite beautiful.
Yes, the visuals are great, really beautiful, as you say. The story, slightly more traditional and, of course, much more serious. There's not really many jokes in this one compared to Muddle Earth, which was pretty much all jokes. So it's a slightly more serious, perhaps slightly more traditional storytelling approach, I guess.
Yes, they're very different modes of children's stories. And I like that they took sort of two contrasting styles of children's stories.
We've got more live actors in this one, but strangely, of course, they don't actually say their lines. When they speak, their lines are being read by Ben Kingsley.
That's right. We see them speak, but it's always Ben Kingsley's voice. And to his credit, it draws you in and does not seem particularly dissonant that we have that difference in actor and voice. It all worked very well.
Did you have anything in the negatives on this particular story, Brian?
I don't have a lot. I do sort of wonder with them doing, and the book as well, doing what is clearly meant to be a Middle Eastern story. And I have questions about if there are stereotypes creeping into this as well, and things that are not as authentic as we'd like them to be. I did have some sense that there may have been some of that, and I don't feel that I'm qualified to say too much about that, but I did have some concerns about what was happening at that level.
Yeah, this is an interesting and slightly challenging point for us. As you say, we're probably not the best qualified to comment, but this does seem like a very more traditional, almost like a tale from the Arabian Nights, and it's presented to us in that way. But I'm not sure whether that, you know, in 2006, that was probably all right. I think in 2026, the BBC might perhaps approach this story in a different way, maybe. tricky one, I think, Brian.
Yeah, it's a tricky one to deal with, and it's worth mentioning, but I do think the result is a pretty engaging story.
I mean, it looks beautiful, and Ben Kingsley is telling us a story, and even if it's a story with some familiar sort of fairy tale beats, it has enough going for it with Ben Kingsley's performance to engage us. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's no point in this when I sort of lost interest or wanted them to speed up a bit or anything like that. And for, you know, a single voice and this sort of unusual visual approach on a children's story, that's pretty good.
Indeed, yes. And I think, you know, they're only 40, 41, 42 minutes each when edited down. I would say they're still perfect viewing for younger audiences or for watching with a young audience. It's great storytelling.
I think so, yeah. So I think that brings us to our recommendations.
Excellent stuff. I think it's your turn to go first, Brian.
Yeah, so I will recommend this. I think it was a lot of fun. There are only minor caveats about the two being very different from each other and sort of some kind of surreal stuff in one and maybe the other we wonder about cultural authenticity kinds of issues and things. But all in all, these are pretty engaging stories. I wish they had continued in 2006 and made more of these. So I will give this a recommendation.
And I will heartily second that recommendation, Brian. I thought these were terrific. And here in Region 2, they're only £4 to get both stories on DVD, which is still available. I think I preferred Muddle Earth to The Magician of Samarkand, but that's not to take away from Ben Kingsley's performance and the visuals in The Magician of Samarkand. And then John Sessions in Muddle Earth is just wonderful. I haven't sat down and watched them with a younger audience, but I'm sure they would still go down very well. So yeah, brilliantly done by the BBC. Well done to Nick Willin and to everybody involved.
Absolutely.
But as ever, if you have other Jackanories that we should have looked at instead, or if you're not too sure about this revival, let us know on the socials.
Yes, indeed. So, in summary, Jackanory the Revival brought us two stories, Muddle Earth, which gives us a story of a young boy being pulled into this strange fantasy world where he has a quest to do, and there are wizards and ogres, and he must complete this quest before he can be sent back home again. And then we get The Magician of Samarkand, which gives us a sort of Arabian Nights-esque folktale where we have a sinister magician who curses a young woman to become a much, much older woman and does many, many curses to the people in the city of Samarkand and must be defeated so people can escape from his tyranny.
Great stuff. Let's have some more Jackanory, please.
That would be lovely.
And please come back and join us next time. We're sticking with children's television. We are returning to E. Nesbitt's The Phoenix and the Carpet. This time we're looking at a 1997 BBC production of it. And I know we're looking forward to this because David Suchet is the voice of the Phoenix. So much to talk about next time, Brian.
Oh, yes. That should be a fun one for sure. Until then, all of our episodes are available at BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group there. And you can follow us on Threads and on Instagram. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, drop by on the socials that you're on and let us know what you thought about Jackanory. And drop by the Voice of Geeks Network, which you'll find at vognetwork.com. The Voice of Geeks for podcasts, for gaming, for Twitch streaming, for geek-related content. Tell them Brian and Eamon said hello.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England inevitably saying, Jackanory, 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 Jackanory.